a few minutes, where between Lisa and I, you get a short day today.
First of all, Ann and I want to thank you for all of your prayers and your thoughts and your cards and your visits. Some came to the visitation for my mom, and then came to the funeral for my mom. There's a Bible verse that really impresses me even more so today. It says, "The mind of a man plans his way." And we figured out we were going to go and do some things, but it says the Lord directs his steps. In other words, we get things figured out what's going to happen, and then all of a sudden God steps in and he changes your schedule. 2 weeks ago on Monday, we took off and went to Cleveland. Ann's brother was going to have planned colorectal surgery. We took off on Monday, and it was the hottest day of the year. It was about 94 degrees. And probably 4 or 5 miles outside of Quincy, the air conditioner quit and got hotter and hotter and hotter. And we both realized that we probably would not be able to make that trip without getting an air conditioner fixed. So we made it all the way to Champaign, and that's when we definitely decided we got to get it fixed. So we stopped in Champaign, and we were going to go to one of the local big vendors, you know. She said, "I'm going to look around, see if I can find a place there." And she called and found this outfit that took care of air conditioners. Well, 3 hours later, we were back on the road with an air conditioner fixed. And it was really kind of cool because we were looking through a brochure of the people that were there. It was called PDR, is the name of the outfit. They were a family-owned business, and we were looking at the brochure, and they had a clear testimony of their faith in Jesus Christ. They were part of the local Champaign organizations, and they had a little brochure, and they had a very clear, and this organization was a very Christian-based organization. Anybody who advertised had a clear faith testimony of their faith in Jesus Christ. And we came away from there, and we were blown away by the fact of how much it didn't cost us to have the air conditioner. So God was working. He planned, he directed our steps. We arrived about 11 o'clock that night, and we were up the next morning at 3 a.m. on Tuesday to take Charlie to his surgery. The surgery went fine. They removed 10 inches of his colon, and the two things that he wanted us to tell him when we got done, they thought he might have to have a bag, and they figured they might have to do a zipper where they open him all the way up. So we were able to tell him no bag, no zipper, and God was very gracious to Charlie. So we spent the rest of the day with Charlie, and we were planning on being there the next couple of days to be able to help him recover and get him back home. On Wednesday, on the way to the hospital in the morning in Cleveland, we got a call. And Ann took the call since I was driving in rush hour traffic. But the call was very simple, that my mother had passed away at Grand Prairie in Macomb. Details were that, as we learned later, at 7 o'clock they went in to wake her up and say, "Or would you like to go to breakfast?" Yes, she did. She left the room and she asked the CNA, "Is this the tunnel I go down?" She always goes down the hallway and she calls it a tunnel. And she said, "Yep, you go down that way and you'll make your way to the cafeteria." Another CNA saw her before she got there, and she was very bright-eyed, very alert. There were no signs of stress or trauma, so Mom was in a very good mood. And again, Mom said, "Is this the tunnel I go down?" And they said, "Yes," and that was the last time anybody saw her. The next time they saw her, she had gone, what we learned from that, piecing everything together, she had gone past the cafeteria and walked a long way down the hallway, walked out the back door, and that's where they found her, about 30 feet. She was lying under a tree. And the coroner said that Mom went very quickly. She had her walker. She was laying on her back. The walker was down on top of her. It was a light aluminum walker. But he said she was gone before she ever let go of the walker. Either a heart situation, a heart attack, or a stroke. So Mom went very peacefully and very quickly, 92 years of age. But still a very traumatic thing, driving down the middle of Cleveland in rush hour traffic. So boom, you have to regroup. We went to the hospital. My brother-in-law, Mike, had already left. He was there for the surgery, thinking we would be there for the next 2 days. So we called Mike. He came back, and we got the Charlie kind of situated, and then we left. In the meantime, we had a flat tire. I had a slow leak the entire time. I kept pumping it up. Well, this time it was flat. So we had to stop and we had to get the tire fixed. And we got the tire fixed, got on the road to back home, and the next few hours spent tons of time calling and making phone calls. You know, we're doing all this stuff for the funeral and everything. We got back home. That was what we got back on Wednesday night. Thursday we regrouped for one day. Friday we took off, went back to Milford for the funeral. We had to make all the plans. My sister came in from out of town. We went through all that process. Remember, the mind of a man plans his way, but God directs his steps. So my sister was able to come. My brother was there. We went to the funeral home, made all the arrangements, saw lots of people, and talked to a lot of people. Sunday was a visitation, and thank you to those who came to the visitation. Lots of family and friends. Monday was the funeral. I had the privilege of speaking at my mom's funeral, and it was a real blessing. A lot of people came. So Monday, we all left, said goodbye to our family, and we thought we would come home. We had left our car to get the Durango to get fixed. It was going to be parked out here at the church. So we said, we'll just go to Macomb, pick it up, or to Hamilton, pick it up, and then we won't have to worry about the next day. On the way, we were almost to the Macomb area, and Ann says, look out there! And there was this big, giant deer. I hit the brakes. I never swore, but I hit the brakes. The deer hit the left side of the car. I thought, okay, we hit a deer. And I started opening the door. The door wouldn't open up. Ann had to get out, and she looked at the damage, and he goes, no. So we made it about 3 miles, and then it's like I thought I was a NASCAR driver. The steam was coming out of the car and all that. The radiator was shot, so we pulled into a church parking lot. The mind of a man plans his way, but God directs his step. A church parking lot, parked the car. Long story short, the car will probably be totaled. So we have a rental. So we have a California rental car now. Got back Tuesday, went back to we stayed in Macomb with my in-laws. My brother-in-law came over, and we regrouped our plans. We cleaned out my mom's apartment, and we came back home after 1,800 miles on the car. The mind of a man plans his way, but God directs his steps. We saw God's faithfulness over and over again during that time. So we want to thank you. You have been a very loving church family. And your cards and your letters and your prayers and your visitation was so appreciated. So from our heart to yours, thank you very much. God was very faithful. One of the things that we're celebrating today is Father's Day. Father, we pray that you would open up our hearts to your word, and Lord, that you would help us understand as fathers and as people in the body of Christ what you want us to be doing with the people around us. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We're talking about a father's gift. There was something, a few years ago, there was a major telephone company found that the volume of long-distance phone calls made on Father's Day was growing faster than Mother's Day. Doesn't make sense. The phone company at that time apologized for the delay in getting the statistics compiled, but they explained this. The extra billing of the calls to fathers slowed them down. Most of the calls were collect. I love this. One little boy defined Father's Day like this. He says, Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much money on a present. I want to reflect today a little bit on some concepts of gifts, but not gifts for the fathers. I'm not talking about gifts for the fathers. These are gifts that the fathers can give. And I think really, if we think about this, these are gifts that anybody can give. Whether you're a father or a mother, these are gifts that we can give to others in our lives. So this is a message for everyone. You know, the best gift that a dad can give is an example of a godly man. The very best gift that you can give as a father is an example of a godly man. And here are some things that as a godly man you can give to your children and to your grandchildren. Unstained hands. Hands of a heart that is expressed in purity. I think we're all going to be able to agree here this morning that there is a greater need for us today of examples of purity than we have ever had before. When you look at the world and you look at the news, we need godly examples of hearts that are hearts of purity and unstained. How many of you know Jerry Trecheck? Anybody ever hear of Jerry Trecheck? He is the founder and director of the Peoria Rescue Mission. Totally interesting guy. But one of the things that Jerry has done over the years, he has interviewed hundreds of men. He deals with men that come from really bad backgrounds. And at the mission, he has interviewed hundreds of men. And he indicated that those men, on the whole, all agree that they learned from their fathers, not from others, how to cheat, how to smoke, how to steal, how to swear, and how to drink. We need hands of fathers that today will point their children and their grandchildren to God. In Psalm 24, verse 4, David says this, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who will stand in his holy place? But he who has clean hands and a pure heart." It speaks of the requirements of coming into the presence of God. I also think, though, when I look at that word, stand in his holy place, I think that could also apply to my life and yours as an example. I am, as it were, standing in the place of God. I represent God. And my life represents God. And as an example, I need to live an unstained life, a life that's pure before God. Psalm 119 says this, "How can we keep our way pure and our hands unstained? By keeping it according to God's word." We treasure God's word in our hearts. We meditate on it so that it becomes a part of who we are. And then we live that life out by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul gives us a reminder of this. Here's what I need to do. Whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good report, excellent, these things, let your mind dwell on those things. What do your minds dwell on? Do an inventory check, guys, especially. Where are your minds? What are your minds dwelling on? Are these the things that your mind is dwelling on? Here's the thought. Purity of thought will produce purity of hands and your actions. Another gift that we can give is the gift of a blameless name. What do people say of you when they hear your name? If someone were to say your name in public, what would they be saying? What would they be thinking? What comes to their mind as they think about you? There was a strange dog that came to a preacher's house, and his three sons became quite fond of it. True story. It so happened that there were three white little hairs in the dog's tail. One day there was an advertisement that was seen in the paper about a lost dog that fit that description perfectly. "In the presence of my three boys," said the minister, "we carefully separated the straying dog's three white hairs and we removed them. The real owner discovered where the dog was, came there to pick up the dog. The dog showed every sign of recognition." You know how dogs get excited when they see their master? They wag their tails, they jump up and down, they really get excited. That's what that dog did. And the man was ready to take him. Quickly the minister spoke up and he said this, "Didn't you say the dog would be known by the three hairs on his tail, the white hairs?" The owner was unable to find the identifying feature and he was forced to leave. The minister said later, "We kept the dog, but I lost my three sons for Jesus Christ." His sons no longer had confidence in what their father professed. He didn't practice what he preached. Here's the key. A blameless name, if you're going to have a blameless name, it's one of integrity, it's one of character, and it's an attitude of your heart. Do your kids and your grandkids see Jesus in your life? Honor and integrity are words that don't mean much today, but they are words that need to be important. They're gifts. So give to your kids and your grandkids a blameless name that honors God. The other thing that we can give, and this is everybody, we need to be willing to give all of ourselves. We need to be willing to give all of ourselves. It's been observed, and I've got the stats here. If you're trying to write down, I'll get them to you. It's been observed that there are 168 hours in the week. The average man spends 40 of them at work. You allow for another 15 at travel time, lunch, overtime, etc. Then set aside 56 more hours, 8 each night for sleep. That adds up to a total of 111 hours, leaving dads 57 hours that you can find time to be a father to your children. How many of these did the average father spend with his children? Well, there was one group of 300 7th and 8th grade boys in an experiment kept accurate records for a two-week period. The average time that the father and son had alone together for an entire week out of those 300 was 7.5 minutes out of 57 hours. Amazing. Daily Bread indicated that the average teen in our church spends 2 minutes a day in meaningful dialogue with their fathers. One-fourth of them said they had never had a meaningful talk. Now, I understand we have to recognize that a meaningful talk for a teenager is a whole different ballgame, okay? But the point was that they weren't spending much time. There's a point here. Children need to have time with their fathers. It's a gift. Spend time with them primarily also in the Word of God. Here's the key. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but God's words never will. Your children need to hear the Word of God. And one of the greatest treasures that you can give them is a godly name, a blameless name. The other thing that Paul talks about as far as giving something is unceasing prayers. Unceasing prayers. Paul referred to his children in the Lord. He called them his children in the Lord, like his own children. And he said, in Colossians chapter 1, he says he prayed for them, and he prayed for them without ceasing, without stopping. He was always praying for his kids. We as fathers need to do that. We need to pray for your children. How much time do we spend praying for our kids? We need to pray that they would come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, and then that they would be built up in their faith. That they'd make wise decisions, they grow in their manner that would be a way that's pleasing to God. And the most important thing is that you would pray that they would allow God to have His fullest way in their lives. That they would recognize God. And then the last thing that you can do as a father is this. You entrust them to God. Entrust them to God. The day will come when we no longer have our children with us to help us and them in every decision and choice. It's going to happen. It happened in our lives. You have to entrust them to God. There comes a point where we, by faith, must leave them with God, who will take care of them and keep them in His own loving way. Entrust them, and here's some pictures that we see of entrusting them. We've talked about what we should do and the gifts we should give our children. Here's the gift that God gave to us. We should entrust them to the Heavenly Father, who loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. He sacrificed willingly His Son that we might have eternal life. The Heavenly Father, whose Son Jesus is our perfect example of a man who had unstained hands. He was called a lamb without spot and blemish. The Bible says He made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We talked last night with the little kids about how the only one who never sinned was Jesus. That we have all sinned, and that we need to understand and recognize that we need that person who had never sinned to be the Savior of our lives. The other thing that God has that we can entrust to Him is a blameless name. You know what it says about Jesus? There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. In Philippians chapter 2, God says this, He highly exalted Jesus. And He did what? He bestowed on Him the name that is above all other names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess Jesus as Lord to the glory of God. So He had a blameless name. The other thing that Jesus did was He gave all of Himself. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And lastly, Jesus also has unceasing prayer. We can entrust Him to God, who is unceasingly praying. When Jesus, before He went to the cross, He said to the Father, remember in John chapter 17, His high priestly prayer. And He's praying earnestly to the Father. He says, I ask on their behalf, speaking of you and me, of His disciples. I'm praying. Jesus is praying for you I do not ask on behalf of the world, but on those whom you have given me. So we can entrust our children to God who is praying for them, entrusting them to the Father who loves them. So the challenge for you today, guys, and also all of us, as the Father gave us the Son of God, our Savior and example, we too can give to our children the greatest gift, and that is the gift of being a godly man. My challenge is to allow your life to be truly given over to the Lord Jesus. Remember the song we sang, "Be the Center of My Life"? That's how you can be a godly example, by allowing Jesus and His Father to be the center of your life. Father, we praise You for this Father's Day. We thank You for so much that we have seen. We've seen it through the K&O. We've seen it through the overnight, the preschoolers. Lord, You are building in those lives, line upon line, precept upon precept. You do that in our own lives, as we've seen in Anna, my life, for the last 2 weeks. You build in our lives faith. You build in our lives the principles of Your Word. You build in our lives confidence that in You, that You are a Heavenly Father, and that You care for us and that You love us. May we reflect that in our lives and be godly people as an example to our young people today. In Jesus' name, amen.